Good morning. Again. Last week I preached on willing to be, and I just forgot to mention one thing before I left. I'd like to offer for the first 10 individuals, male or female, this book, 12 Ordinary Men. Only 10 because that's all I have left. So, last week we talked about God using us as we are. And all that we had to do was be willing. And John MacArthur's book, 12 Ordinary Men, is just an interesting read. Talks about the personalities of the men that he called, their weaknesses as well as their strengths, and how God was able to use them just as they were. This morning I want to talk to you about being a blessing. Blessing others. If you got my email this week, you know, I talked a little bit about how I was raised in our Catholic home. Mom and Dad taught me that when anybody should ever sneeze, you should say, God bless you. And I still do it to this day. Never knew what it meant or why I should do it, just that it was a good thing, and rather than curse somebody, it's to bless them. And so then, as I grew up, I found out that there was a certain old tale that it was attached to it, that when somebody sneezed, they could possibly have a heart attack, which when you do the research is not really true. Although I know someone, a close friend of mine, whose father had a weak heart, and towards the end of his life, when he left, it was that he was sitting at home and he sneezed, and his heart gave out. Yeah. So there are different ways that we can bless one another, and I want to kind of explore that with you today. I want to try to answer the questions: what does it mean to be blessed? What does it mean to possess a blessing? And what does it mean to share those blessings with someone else? Because each and every one of us are blessed. We may not have as much as the next person. You might be going through some hard times right now and be sitting there going, what in the world is he talking about? If he only knew what I was going through right now, he wouldn't say I was blessed. But I want to tell you, just as we sang today, that regardless of what you're going through, God is present. And we are blessed. I know you've heard it said, you know, things can always be worse. And that's true. For that alone, you're blessed. And so this morning I want to look at to some of you, probably a familiar parable. Parable is a short story. Jesus was great at telling short stories. And this one is in Matthew 25. We're going to look at Matthew 25 this morning, verses 14 to 30. And this is the parable of the three servants. Let's explore that, starting with verse 14. Now again, the kingdom of heaven, and this is something that Jesus was always talking about because that's what he came for, to let us know that the kingdom of heaven was near and that God was working at bringing his creation into order and into his presence in the kingdom of heaven. And again, the kingdom of heaven can be illustrated by the story of a man going on a long trip. He called together his servants and entrusted his money to them while he was gone. He gave 5 bags of silver to one and 2 bags of silver to another and 1 bag of silver to the last, dividing it in proportion to their abilities. He then left on his trip. The servant who received the 5 bags of silver began to invest the money and earned 5 more. The servant with 2 bags of silver also went to work and earned 2 more. But the servant who received 1 bag of silver dug a hole in the ground and hid the master's money. After a long time, their master returned from his trip and called them to give an account of how they had used his money. The servant to whom he had entrusted the 5 bags of silver came forward with 5 more and said, Master, you gave me 5 bags of silver to invest, and I have earned 5 more. The master was full of praise. Well done, my good and faithful servant. You have been faithful in handling this small amount, so now I will give you many more responsibilities. Let's celebrate together. The servant who had received two bags of silver came forward and said, "Master, you gave me two bags of silver to invest, and I have earned two more." The master said, "Well done, my good and faithful servant. You have been faithful in handling this small amount. So now I will give you many more responsibilities. Let's celebrate together." And then the servant with the one bag of silver came and said, "Master, I knew you were a harsh man, harvesting crops you didn't plant and gathering crops you didn't cultivate. I was afraid I would lose your money, so I hid it in the earth. Look, here is your money back." But the master replied, "You wicked and lazy servant. If you knew I harvested crops and that I didn't plant and gathered crops I didn't cultivate, why didn't you deposit my money in the bank? At least I could have gotten some interest on it." Then he ordered, "Take the money from the servant and give it to the one with the 10 bags of silver. To those who use well what they are given, even more will be given, and they will have an abundance. But from those who do nothing, even what little they have will be taken away. Now throw this useless servant into outer darkness, where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth." So, what is a blessing? Well, you're experiencing it right now in your relationships with one another. Some of you have come in as a family this morning. You have relationships. You come with a spouse or a friend. Or even if you've come alone, you know that you've come to a place where you have a relationship with a good many people. And there's a blessing in that. That is exemplified in Jesus' story because the master had a relationship with his servants. He trusted them and he entrusted to them wealth. When we look at the context of the time, these bags of silver, to some of them, represented, listen, 15 years worth of a salary for a day laborer. 15 years. That's how much money he gave these guys to work with. He gave it according to their abilities, because they're not all the same, just like you and I are not all the same. God has given us all gifts. Now, you may not be able to do what the person next to you does, maybe because you're sitting with your spouse and you know how much she does. But no matter who you are, no matter what you do, God has given you those individual gifts. Whatever you do with your hands, however your mind is wired, if you're good with math, God has given you that gift. If you're good with your hands, God has given you that gift. Each of us have talents and abilities, and they all come from God because all these gifts originate from Him. Now, what does it mean to possess the blessings, right? And then to give it away. Because you possess these things. You have them at your disposal. It's very easy for us to take these things for granted because they are a part of our lives. Many of these things have grown with us as we have grown up in our lives. But what does it mean now to share these blessings? Well, as you could see, the servants were called to invest, to work, to give away, to share. See, because whatever God gives us is not just simply for us, but it is to be shared, to be distributed, to be divvied out, to be given away. Because there are many others that don't have what you and I have, and we can share it with them. Listen to what Albert Einstein said, and we should have it up on the screen this morning. When somebody asked him what the meaning of life was, he said, "Only a life lived for others is a life worthwhile." Now, you would think from somebody like Albert Einstein that he would have come out with some more grandiose answer about the meaning of life. I mean, the man was brilliant. The way he thought, the gifts and abilities that God had given him was incredible. But he said, only a life shared is one worth living. And so, with that in mind, I often like to encourage others to ask questions of the scriptures. Quite often, we go into autopilot, you know. You have a reading schedule, you want to stay on task. You may have less time this morning because you got to get out the door, but you know you want to read a certain amount every day, and so you go into autopilot. But quite often, I think we read the scriptures and we don't ask the questions. And it's important that we do, because in asking them, God can answer them. And this morning, I want to encourage us to ask a question. In Jesus' story, why the Master, who, by the way, represents God, why, Master, are you so angry with this one servant? Why, as we joke around in my family with my son and daughter, why so vexed? Why so perplexed? Because in verse 26, the first portion, but the master replied, you wicked and lazy servant. Upset, no doubt. But what's even worse is how the story ends with this particular story, this particular servant, and the whole story comes to a close in verse 30 where he says, now throw this useless servant into outer darkness where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. See, this begs the question, because in our minds, this seems to be out of character for God. We know him as to be loving, and he is, forgiving, he is patient, and he is long-suffering. So how could God get to a place where he would be so angry with this one servant? Well, we need to acknowledge first that this is a warning to not to the world, but to the people of God, to those who have been given the gift and the privilege of being his servant, being called into this relationship. Now, I think a way I would like to cover the reasons for his anger this morning is looking at 1 Peter chapter 2, verses 9 and 10 with you. Because I think this highlights, well, the relationship we have, the gifts that we have been given as God's people, how precious they truly are. Peter writes, starting with verse 9, but you are not like that. Now, I'll give you some context. What he's talking about is, prior to that verse, he's talking about a people who are disobedient, a people who have rejected God. And he is writing to them and encouraging them. And he starts by saying, but you are not like that. For you are, listen, a chosen people. These two verses are just filled with blessing. You are a chosen people. God has come along and said, come with me. You are a royal priesthood. God has elevated you to a position with him and blessed you. A holy nation. Listen, God's very own possession. Not something to be cast aside, or kicked to the curb, or left, abandoned, but his very own possession. It means he has come for you. I don't care who you are, I don't care where you've been in your life, I don't care what you have done or what you could possibly do tomorrow, or how horribly you and I could fail. His possession. And as a result, now listen, you can show others the goodness of God. For he called you out of darkness into his wonderful light. Are you counting the blessings here? Are you hearing them, taking them in? These are things that a portion of Scripture should not be rushed in. In fact, Frank, I'm going to ask you to leave this up for some time as I'm talking. Once you had no identity, no passport, you weren't going anywhere. You had no identity as a people, but now you are God's people. Once you received no mercy, now you have received God's mercy. Listen to, these two verses explode with blessings. God is all over these people. He has done incredible things. He's taken them from obscurity and made each of them his own personal possession. Freedom. He's given a people a freedom to know him, to grow in him, to be blessed and to have life. I'm talking about chain-snapping freedom, rope-cutting freedom. Salvation, which we can kind of just get used to as a phrase. But I really do think we do well to visit the day when we came face to face with Jesus in our lives. When I said and prayed, "Oh God, will you come into my life?" When you prayed it. When someone shared with you something from the Bible or encouraged you in some way and pointed you in God's direction, and he came and he made a difference because you knew that your sins were forgiven. That means that you never have to look over your shoulder when it comes to eternity. That you have someone to walk with and travel with in this life. Someone who has saved you because he loves you. Salvation. Blessing upon blessing. When you look at these two verses, when you think about the great wealth that God has poured into your life, for me, it reeks of responsibility and accountability. In fact, I believe as Christians, we have a critical obligation to do what? Well, Peter touches on it, to show others the goodness of God. To just show them by living it out, by being a people of God, showing them, sharing with them, expressing love, being out there. That is our obligation as Christians, to take what God has poured into our lives and what he has fashioned us to be and what he is continually fashioning us to be and give it away. Go out and live it. Be in the world as his lights, as his hands, as his smile, as his eyes. When you look at this now, and you think back now to the servant who failed to exchange, because you see, I believe God has called us to live lives that exchange with one another. We have been blessed, and we ought to give that away. When you think about that servant taking what God gave him, and burying it. In fact, Jesus said he did nothing. He did nothing. Can you understand then the anger, the frustration, the upsetment that God would take something so precious, which is the blood of his son, the very life of his child, his one and only son, and send it to die for us and for our servant to do nothing with that? You kind of get an understanding of why even God has a point where he must speak out and deal. Now, nothing is a pretty tall statement, a pretty hard statement. The servant did nothing. But see, there's good news in this, because the beauty in this is God's just asking us to do something. Didn't he say to the servant, if you would have even just taken my money and put it in the bank and gotten a little interest, a something is better than nothing. He didn't say to the servant with the two bags of silver, how come you didn't get 10, like the one who had 5? I mean, couldn't you have done what he did? God's not saying that. In other words, God's not looking at you and I and saying, you know, thank God he doesn't say, Vinny, I want you to be able to play the piano like Janet. And I'd say, what? I can't. But God would never ask me to, because that's not an ability that he's given me. See, God is not unjust. He's very fair. He has blessed each of us with gifts and abilities. And all we need to do is to share them, to help others. Right? And it could be just about anything. Spoke with John and Justin this week, and we were relating a story about when they went to the men's retreat, and they pulled off the side of the road and stopped for something, and there was a woman who they knew God ordained that they should meet because she was in trouble with her car. It was old, it was ratty, she needed help, and they helped her. It could be something as simple as that. Blessing someone because she didn't have the ability to do whatever she needed to do to get back on the road and to get wherever she was going. But they were there at that moment, and they gave to her. It has been said that success is simply this. Find something you enjoy doing. I will say to you, find something that you're gifted at and do it well. Well, not only do it well for others. Give your gifts to others and bless them. And bless them. I was reminded this week of a story. It dates back years and years ago at the Valley Stream Church. I was facilitating a small group in someone's home at the time. And it came about that someone in the group was in need. The woman was a woman who took in children and cared for them. I mean, raised them. Loved them and raised them. They weren't her children. I think they were some of her niece's children. And her nieces fell on hard times and were in trouble, and she took them in and she cared for them. Well, it came to my attention that her water heater broke down. And how it came to my attention was someone in the group said, I want to get her a new water heater. Would you install it? I said, absolutely. So he purchased the water heater. I installed the water heater. And to this day, every time I see that woman, she brings it up. I remember when I didn't have any hot water. And you were there. You put the water heater in. I had more hot water. I'm like, this years ago. Okay, you know. But you see, it was a blessing. And one that's stuck with her all these years. It could be something as simple as that. Encouraging someone, giving someone hope, letting them know. Now, interestingly enough, in Jesus' story, he doesn't give any instructions on how to invest the money, how to make it work. What he does is he entrusts it to them, and then he leaves it up to them to make the wise choice with the amount of time that they have to work with. See, because the master is gone, but he's coming back. And he's given each of us a certain amount of time to take these gifts and abilities, to do something with them. Well, he did with these servants. No instructions. Here, this is what I'm giving you. Go. It was for them to decide how they were going to invest the money, how they were going to work what they were given. Well, this morning, I think that Peter has given us a little instructions to show others. At least he's given us a general thing. Go and show others. But I would like to take the liberty to give you some instruction. What are you good at? Are you good at spackling? Are you good at painting? Are you good at plumbing? I don't mind a little competition. Are you good at electrical work? What are you good at? Do you have a kind heart? Do you know how to make someone feel welcomed? Some people have the gift of hospitality, others don't. That's okay. You know how to cut grass or pull weeds? Remember last week I said to the elders of our congregation, you know, there's no such thing as you're past your prime when it comes to your faith. Can you sit and write a card, a letter? To encourage someone? Can you put your arms around someone in this building or outside of this building and give them a hug? Let them know how much you care about them or that you've been thinking about them. And then when you get into conversation with them as you're sharing and exchanging in your relationship that you find out there's a need, that you'll pray for them. And you do it, and I do it. You see, it's these little things and the everyday that we can take for granted and miss out on blessing someone. Because God has blessed you. He's blessed you. And maybe you can fix a flat Maybe you can help someone pay a bill. I don't know, but God knows. I have to say from this man here that since I have arrived in Patchogue, I have been blessed. Every time I step into our home, I am blessed. Every time I drive down the road, I am blessed. Every time I enter this place, I am blessed. Every time I gather here with you, I am blessed. And so, what should I do with that? I think I have a good idea, and I'm working on it. Each of us have been blessed in so many different ways, and those blessings come from God. But the thing is, what shall we do with them? Put it to the exchange. Go and be a blessing to someone else. Because you and I just don't know how well we can apply the little things that we take for granted in someone else's life and make a difference. A phone call, maybe even a text, an email. Just saying, I was thinking about you. I've gotten cards, thank you for the birthday wishes on Facebook and cards, and I've been given a gift today, friends showing up that I didn't expect. I was told it was because of my birthday. These are all blessings. These are all blessings, and we have the ability to bless one another. Don't hesitate. Don't hold back. God has made you a certain way. He's given you certain abilities, and he's calling you to go, to give yourself away, to share who you are with others. Because when you do, you bless people, and that's why I'm trying to tell you, I am blessed for being here. This congregation, this place is a gift to me. By the way, I'll just close on this note. What does blessings do? You lift the weights off of someone else's shoulders. Because that's what's happened to me since I've come here. You carry the weight in someone else's life. You go a mile with them. You care for them. And there are just so many ways of doing it. So, be practical. Be mindful. Remember, as you read the scriptures, as you spend time with God, how blessed you are, and that there's something to be done with those blessings. Let's pray together. Oh, Father, how rich a people we are. What great love and great wealth you have poured out into our lives, Lord. And Lord, I shudder to think where I might be, where we might be as a people if you never came into our lives, but you have. The gift of your presence, oh God, well, such a blessing. Lord, how many times have I said to you in prayer, you don't have to do another thing for me because I'm so already blessed beyond. Lord, today as we go, I pray, oh God, may we be mindful of you, your gifts to us, our abilities that we possess. Lord, enable us to be free in our love and generosity to all that we come across and all who cross our paths. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Thank you for listening.
Let's stand.
Fire. There's a fire, sweet fire burning in my heart. Fire, there's a fire, sweet fire burning in my heart. And I will run with all of the passion you put in me. I will spread the seed of the gospel everywhere. Oh, fire, there's a fire, sweet fire burning in my heart. Fire, there's a fire, sweet fire burning in my heart. And I can feel the power of your hand upon me. Now I know I'll never be be the same again. For as long as you give me breath, my heart is so resolved, oh, to lay my life before you, Lord. Let everything I do be to your praise. Oh, fire, there's a fire, sweet fire burning in my heart. Let me feel your tongues of fire resting upon me. Let me hear the sound of your mighty rushing wind. Let my life be like an offering of worship. Let me be a living sacrifice of praise. Oh, fire! There's a fire, sweet fire burning in my heart. Fire, there's a fire, sweet fire burning in my heart. Fire, there's a fire, sweet fire burning in my heart. Fire, there's a fire, sweet fire burning in my heart. Fire, there's a fire. Sweet fire burning in my heart. Fire, there's a fire. Sweet fire burning in my heart.
Amen. Hallelujah. May the fire of God's Spirit burn in you and enable you and encourage you to take the gifts that you've been given and to help others and give to others. May God bless you all. Have a great time. Enjoy the fellowship downstairs. There's cake for Pastor Vinny's birthday, and I hope to get to know you a little better down there. God bless you.